Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Welcome to the Stadium Club, a WGN Radio deep dive into the homes and future homes of Chicago sports teams.
The third NASCAR Chicago Street Race revs through the Windy City once again this weekend.
This is my second time. I came last year. It was a really nice experience. I saw the trophy. I saw the cars. There was a lot of people.
The three-year contract between NASCAR and the city that was announced in 2022 has two mutual options, and their fate is unclear. Track president Julie Geist says there have been good conversations between NASCAR and the city, and there's time to work on the possibilities beyond the event.
People want to bring large events to the city of Chicago, particularly sporting events. We're going to continue to have conversations. You all know me. I will sit and meet with anyone.
Now, here's your host, WGN's Ryan Burrow.
Joining me is Dane Neal, WGN host and aficionado of motorsports media, essentially. Thanks for joining, Dane.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Excited to be on.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Chicagoland Speedway. We've been talking a lot about the Bears and the White Sox and the Fire and, you know, even some of the things going on in Evanston with Northwestern. But Chicagoland Speedway is interesting. It's about 47,000-seat stadium for auto racing. It's been open for a while, and you can get a little bit into that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that Carson Hosifer has posted. I'm not a huge NASCAR guy. You obviously are, so you probably know a lot more about this than I do. But in June, he posted some images of the, essentially abandoned Chicagoland Speedway from an overhead shot from a helicopter. It must be nice to have a helicopter to go and take pictures from. He was able to do that. Then he followed that up with a comment on Twitter. Quote, "I'm going to be so pumped for Chicagoland next year. That track's going to be badass in the next gen car." And then just last week, he posted a video on YouTube where he's actually walking around the abandoned track. So I want to get to Carson in a bit, because maybe we can dive a little bit into why he's the one who's posting all this stuff. But what happened to Chicagoland Speedway? What is the current status of racing there right now?
Well, the current status is there is no status. During the pandemic, that is when they decided to suspend the racing that was happening there at the NASCAR facility, Chicagoland Speedway. And for the listeners, it's called Chicagoland, but it really isn't. And for anyone who's been there, it's not really anywhere near Chicago. You know, it's in Joliet, you know, and it's a good hour away. And even though the skyline is in the logo, it's not really that, it's not really close at all. And over the years, you know, attendance had been sort of dwindling to the point where I think you still had a lot of interest, and you had people dedicated that would head down there for the NASCAR races. It was a typical NASCAR weekend where you'd have the Craftsman Truck race maybe on a Friday, the Xfinity race on a Saturday, and then on Sunday you'd have the Cup Series race. But I don't think you can blame the market or Chicagoland or the race fans or even the facility, Ryan, for the crowds. As anyone who's been paying attention to the sport, the ratings have been good television-wise, but attendance on-site at the tracks has been a challenge for NASCAR, and they make decisions on a yearly basis, new places to go, and maybe some places to not go anymore, and Chicagoland, unfortunately, was on the chopping block.
Who owns that? It sounds like it's kind of changed ownership. Does NASCAR actually own that property?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's interesting that you say that. So when you think about it, NASCAR, it's a family owned business. And unlike, let's say, the NFL, where you have, you know, multiple different companies and families and franchises and cities represented, even though it really does feel, and it is, a national sport with fan bases all across the country, it's really like a traveling, like all-star game. It's like a traveling sort of circus, right? It goes, the entire sport moves from market to market, and NASCAR owns a lot of the tracks, the majority of the tracks that they race at, in Chicagoland being one of them. They had a company that they worked with that was really like Speedway Associates that owned a multiple, and it was basically just another corporation that they also owned and controlled, but that managed the facilities. So That's one of the things that that they do own it. There's a couple different companies that own, like Nashville is a separate company that owns a couple tracks. Texas Motor Speedway and Charlotte Motor Speedway are owned by O. Bruton Smith and his interests. And so there's a few different groups that have been in and around it for a while. But NASCAR owns the majority of the tracks in Chicagoland, that facility, that whole facility, including, for people that are familiar, the drag race facility there, Route 66, and there's a dirt track oval there as well, that entire compound.
I think from a perspective of the public, it's not as though then that we've got to worry about, well, the city of Joliet owns it and they're hurting because NASCAR's not racing. Yeah. This is their baby. This is their financial investment. And if they don't want to race there, I guess they don't have to race there.
Yeah, they can definitely do that. They could sell it off. They could do a million things. And as people have speculated, race fans, you know, first sad, obviously, that we lost the race in the market. But, you know, people were wondering, hey, is it going to be an Amazon factory? Are they going to sell it all off? There's a lot of industrial parks there. Is that going to turn into anything? People were sure that all of that stuff was going to happen, and none of it has. So for Carson to be there at the track walking around, we also know that the street race, which is happening right now, I'm spending all week. And just before I got on with you, I talked with Alex Bowman, defending champion of the street race, talked with Chase Elliott, talked with Ryan Blaney. There's a bunch of drivers. This is the third, and at least in the existing contract, final year of NASCAR's presence on the streets of Chicago. So if they're thinking to take the momentum that they may have or feel they have in this market and transfer it someplace pretty easy and, you know, accessible, it might be a natural fit just to pivot out to Chicagoland.
The timing of all this is interesting. The Carson posts come as the Chicago street race is coming up. We know that right now there's no contract renewal in Chicago. There have been rumors about maybe moving this kind of race to San Diego, but perhaps San Diego's not ready. Chicago is a huge market, obviously, and you don't want to lose NASCAR's footprint there. So it would seem as though that would be an easy transition, but you're not aware of anything from NASCAR of an announcement coming anytime soon.
Yeah, you know, I'm not, but that doesn't mean that there are things in the works. Understand this too, because it is such a small group. It is a family business. It is a small group. The whole kind of, you know, leaks and kind of playing their hand and deciding what they do, it's pretty close to the vest, and they could be fully intending to move and do something at Chicagoland, and they wouldn't let us know about it. And not really, because you know what, as a news person, you know, that would be the news, right? It would be like, hey, this is the last thing. They decided not to do it. When the new administration came in on the mayoral side, there was a lot of speculation that it wouldn't be something that this group, the current administration, would be in favor of or supportive. There were out clauses for each one of these years. But it's continued. So I think as soon as we're going to see this, Ryan, as soon as the race is over and they're starting to dismantle things, you're going to see what's going to happen. They're going to want lead time to do that. The thing that I think is interesting is the fact that Carson, if it is true that he's not being reprimanded, punished, yeah, told not to do that, because remember, they not only control the track, the racing series, but also, you know, the punishment structure. And they could tell him, hey, if you want to race in NASCAR, then why don't you not talk about it? So I don't know. That makes me think maybe it is just a rumor, maybe a hopeful rumor. I'm not sure.
Well, let me ask you, as someone who doesn't come in the racing world or know a lot about it, who is Carson? Does his voice hold a lot of sway in the racing industry?
Unfortunately, and I hate, maybe this is a newsflash to Carson, no, it's not. No, so he isn't. So maybe that's part of the reason that it hasn't generated, you know, any extra negative attention, because he doesn't, you know, he isn't like a face of the sport. It's not like Chase Elliott. You know, it isn't like Dale Earnhardt Jr. It isn't like somebody that people would say, well, wow, you know what, he must know something. And maybe they appreciate, this could be, you know, we can get all super grassy knoll and conspiratorial, is that maybe it's like, hey, see what happens, see what comes out, see if Ryan Burrow's going to talk about it, and if people seem hopeful that there's something to it. You know, it could be as easy as that. If people were saying, no, we hated it, we didn't want to drive out there, it wasn't a great, you know, whatever the feedback might be, they're definitely getting some. It wasn't a bad track. It wasn't a bad place to see a track or to see a race, and a great place for a race weekend, you know, from a logistics standpoint of getting in and out, it was easier than Chicago. Certainly, you don't have all of those, you know, extra benefits and certainly the sight lines. But it's already there. You know, it's built. You see that it's just ready to go. Turnkey, just a lawnmower, you know, and maybe just a runaround with a little bit of a patching thing. And you've got yourself a ready to go facility. And they do mow the lawn. That whole team out there, I know them, and they maintain it. You know, the dirt track and the drag strip is operational, and you know, it isn't really abandoned. There are tracks that are. It's not really abandoned.
You know, him walking around and watching the video, which he posted to YouTube, and we'll put a link of it on the WGN radio page just so people can take a look. I mean, obviously, there are weeds growing through the cracks. You know, the facilities themselves, a lot of them haven't been touched for a while. I know you said that there's a grounds crew there, but would it take really more than mowing the grass and putting some weed killer out there to get it back into shape if really no major racing has gone on there for a while? I mean, there are garages to think about, obviously, the stadium to think about, bathrooms, things like that. I don't know how long that would take to get up into, you know, a usable space.
Well, you see, and we've all seen, and it's pretty amazing what they're able to do in just a week or so to transform Grant Park and everything with the stands and the track and the barriers and everything. And if they can do that with nothing, all they really need to do, right, is just get in there. And they've got people that do this. So it could be brought back to life and ready to roll quickly. People understand, you know, you don't have a big educational piece on here's what it is. It's basically, it's what you knew it was. You've got the parking is just, you know, they park on the grass. So they've got those gravel lots. I mean, it would take a little bit of something, but it could be done, you know, it could be done pretty quick. And what they would want to do probably is see the reasons why they decided to move was different opportunities. I think they took it to Road America for a couple of years. And then obviously we've seen downtown on the streets of Chicago. So if they decided to pivot, they may want to do some other things. In the meantime, we've seen joint weekends with IndyCar and NASCAR. IndyCar, as of course we all know, right? WGN Radio is the original radio voice of the Indy 500, and we promoted that race had its biggest sellout really in recent memory since the 100th anniversary. And this one wasn't driven by an anniversary. This one was just the popularity of the sport. Originally, with the groundbreaking of that facility when it first started, it was a joint effort by NASCAR and IndyCar. When I was there for the groundbreaking of that area, they had not only like Dale Jarrett, if you're familiar with him, Dale Earnhardt Sr. was there for the groundbreaking. Bill France Jr., who is, you know, just an icon in the sport. I mean, it was as serious as it gets. This was a big deal for them to bring NASCAR to the Chicago market. Up until then, you know, mostly kind of Southeastern. They were just getting those TV contracts on Fox and NBC. Before that, it was relegated to TNT. So if they brought it back, Brian, I would think if they could combine it with an IndyCar date at the same time to just build as many get-tos and positives into it, maybe build in Supercross, which they did a very successful event last summer there at that same facility, and maybe build in, I've always thought, you could do concerts there because you have that one big grandstand side, so good sight lines for everybody, throw a band out there. Yeah, I just think if you, with a thoughtful strategy, you know, you could do it.
You bring up a point that actually I'd written down. I was going to ask you about. So the Chicago Cubs have concerts. Obviously, Soldier Field is used for multiple sports. We even know that on the south side of Chicago at the White Sox Stadium, they're going to do Savannah Bananas. I mean, does NASCAR use these stadiums for anything other than racing? Have they before? Have they tried to like branch out and use these for multi-purpose?
Well, they certainly could. And you look at what they've done is they tried to be more things to more people and build in more things than just racing into that experience, just trying to be responsive to people and give them more value, I guess, for their trip, for their day. And for Chicago, for the street race, we've got, you know, they've got concerts. You've got the Zac Brown Band coming. Before you had the Chainsmokers, Miranda Lambert. You know, they're building in what is full concerts into your sort of race, and I'm doing the air quotes, experience. And so there's no reason not to. I feel like that's a big value add. You already own the property. it's already built. You just have to set up a stage. You know, it isn't even as difficult as let's say Soldier Field, where you need to retrofit it in different ways. You could just set up a stage either right on the track or a little bit there. And the way that the grandstands are, it's just all on one side. I think you're good to go. You know what I mean? So, and a lot of these music acts, you know, especially on the outdoor side, they're used to being pretty self-contained with the lighting rigs and everything that they would need. So it's not like a theater setting. I just think if you had the ability to do that, those tours are really, here's another thing. Those tours are really lucrative. So Bristol Motor Speedway down in Bristol, an iconic NASCAR race, 140,000 people. It holds, it is like a bowl, right? They've had college football games there, but they also had Country Thunder, which is a country music festival with multiple days and multiple acts. And they did it in a NASCAR. NASCAR, just for the record, doesn't own that track. It's one of these other groups, but you see it in what is a traditional motor sports facility and them doing, you know, just full concerts. I don't see why not. I think that could be part of maybe the new business model for some of these, and certainly for Chicagoland going forward.
Am I correct to say that the NASCAR has tried to expand itself with the street race? I believe, didn't they race in the Rose Bowl? There was a race in Southern California, I remember. I mean, is it trying to find new and unique venues to try and broaden this out? And what's the racing like? I mean, for the true fan, do you prefer it to be in a standardized track rather than street races and racing inside stadiums?
Well, they got the next-gen car, and Carson mentioned that. Can't wait to see the next-gen car on this track. And that one, because of the suspension and just the way that it's set up, is more conducive to street racing, which is a lot of left turns and right turns. And the typical NASCAR setup that they've had for the stock cars just doesn't operate well like that. You know, it's used to just going in ovals. So the new car can do it, right? So they could entertain additional street venues, and it's, you know, pretty, it's got, it's as difficult as it has been, and we've seen sort of the growing pains of the street race. It's a lot easier than building a whole stadium, you know, that you own and that you owe for and all of that, right? I think moving parts wise, it's probably easier. So they're doing more of that. I was there for it was the Los Angeles Coliseum where they did it, not the Rose Bowl, but you know, it was, even as big as it is, it's still small, you know, it was still too small. But from a spectacle standpoint, just to see it happening in that iconic venue was really cool. And it did bring a certain amount of eyes, and 80% of the fans for those first 2 years there, just like Chicago, were brand new NASCAR fans. NASCAR is tasked with, you know, they've got a lot of tradition. You know, a lot of times, you know, sports try to lean in on their legacies and histories, and NASCAR would be the first to probably admit that theirs is complicated. Right. Not whether it's the bootlegging crime side of the origins, or whether it's that traditional sort of alignment with, you know, some of the, you know, past racism issues. You know, there's just complications with them fully gripping the history and tradition that you just don't see maybe with the NFL or Major League Baseball. And they know that they need to grow the sport, that they need to generate and create new fans. It isn't like it was, let's say, you know, when, you know, your parents and my parents were working on the cars in the driveway, and it was just a whole different culture of just car guys, right? And those same cars, stock cars, right? Same cars that were in your driveway were the ones that were racing. So there are some natural points to connect there. And now with technology and everything, it's a lot different. So they've really had to be thoughtful and having a strategy to reach out to new markets like Chicago and new fan bases, you know, like in Mexico. They just came back from there. They're working on it. I don't know if they'll be able to crack the code, but they're certainly trying.
Yeah, the only other comparison I would say is with hockey and them trying, you know, a lot of outdoor venues and trying different facilities and trying to see if they can draw a fan base that way. I did reach out to Carson Hosever's team to see if he'd be willing to talk at all. They have not responded back to me. I think you've done some digging on your end, so I really appreciate it. I reached out. I'd like to find out from Carson how he got into that stadium, because I believe that if you and I walked up to it, I don't know if we'd be allowed. So I don't know if someone wink, wink, nudge, nudge gave him a key, because we didn't see that portion of the video where he hopped a fence or how he got physically onto the property. But I'd be interested to know how that all came to be, because like I said, there seems to be something going on there. I don't know what
it
is.
And Ryan, if there is any truth to it and NASCAR is not willing to or ready to announce it, maybe Carson is duct taped in a closet somewhere, right?
We will see. And I, for the sake of this interview, I did reach out to the city of Joliet to see if they had any comments, and they did not have anything to say. I don't necessarily know that they have any impact as to what NASCAR does or what races go on there, but obviously they have an impact on, it has an impact on them, and they'd like to get a heads up whether something's happening. And if something is, maybe they're not willing to share it with us yet.
Yeah. You look at the reasons why and what you can sort of read into things. The fact that they haven't come back and said, no, we're not, we haven't heard anything, but we'd be excited to, work on something. We know that we have a great, history in the racing world and with Route 66. And that would be, there should be a stock answer, because this would be a normal, I think, typical question that that office would get from whether it's residents, or fans or even the media, is like, hey, is anything going on with that? Because strangely enough, it isn't leveled. It isn't an Amazon warehouse, right? It's pretty much ready to go.
Maybe we'll find out on July 7th. What are all your socials? Where can people find you online?
I think it's @Dane_Neal on Instagram. And then for Twitter, it's @DaneTanamo, DaneTanamo, I think. Dane Tanamo.
Dane, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Enjoy the racing this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. You too.
Follow WGN's Stadium Club at WGNRadio.com, Spotify, Apple, and any place you find podcasts.